Hey guys, well here we are in lovely Currumbin Valley. We had to drive up like we were going to Jurassic Park to get up here, and Smokey was waiting at the top of the driveway to welcome us, so we're going to go in, have a chat, see what this brewery is all about.
Get out, Sylvie.
All right, hey guys, we're up Currumbin Valley with Smokey. This is the original location. This is where the brew kit is, and we're going to get in, find out what's going. How are you,
nice
man?
Nice one, Adzie. Thanks for coming up,
legend. Fuck, man. So, show us what we got in here, man. So, the four fermenters?
Yeah, just inside. This is all we've got. Yeah, so just 15 hec. I squeeze into them like in wort production.
Yep.
And, then basically, this is our mash lauter tun.
Yep.
And, It's pretty much all been managed to get in through this roller door, so it's kind of squat, but you can see it's got bolt-on legs here, so we kind of jimmied that up with a pallet jack and got that bottom part on.
Yeah.
And then, it's a nice bit of kit out of Tiantai. I mean, obviously, sometimes people think that Chinese and stuff isn't the best, but with our budget, it was the option, and I'm actually really happy with it.
A lot of breweries got Tiantai.
I'm not surprised.
Yep.
Yeah, so it was a big step up for us getting an auger and grist hydrator, but we don't actually...
I bet that helps quite a bit, though.
Oh, massively, man. Yeah. I mean, anything that eliminates, like, double handling.
Yeah, 100%, right? Yeah, it's all about efficiencies.
Yeah, that's right, man. And I mean, like, so this is probably my favourite part of the kit.
This is probably one of the first time we've seen something like this in a brewery.
Oh, really? A big work grant?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, basically, very quickly, it's just to save the lauter plates when you don't have a manometer to really see, which we don't.
Yep.
And so basically, like, it gravity feeds into here through this valve.
Yep.
And then you control the outlet here with pump speed. And so this is a little obsolete having a second sight glass there.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, you can control the clarity and the flow here, which is obviously the pressure on those plates. So it relieves a bit of that.
Yeah, nice.
And then that runs into our kettle, which is the finest dairy vat man has seen.
Yeah.
You can even see the original where we had to roll it out of its original place.
Yeah,
across the concrete and stuff. So basically, like, that's probably really the hero of our show as well, because it's...
Well, this is a bit of a... different piece of kit than you see in a lot of breweries too. Like, this
you're
is
not wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, we saw it first at 7 cent. We got the idea. Hendo took us down on a Melbourne mission before he built our brewery, and we saw 7 cent had a setup not too dissimilar to this, and also the guys at Tallboy and Moose.
Yep.
And they use an electric element, I think, at Tallboy and Moose. But we do have one for, like, heating. I heat my strike liquor in here, and basically mash in and send it across from the kettle in the morning. And as a result of that, man, it's basically like, it's just a nice way of doing things. But we've got the thermal fluid coming in from outside, which is a bit of a secret thing, but I'm really excited to show you guys that too. But basically runs through the jacket of the old dairy vat here.
Yep.
There was a little bit of emission converting that thermal fluid across, because it is an oil.
Yep.
And there was some leaks in the welds. And once there's oil and in stainless welds, it's a pain.
Yep.
But we did manage to get it done in the end. But,
nice.
Not without a little bit of trial and tribulation, but it's all good.
This liquid oil that you're talking about, what is it? Let's go and have a look.
We can go and check it out, sure. But basically, it's like a really refined oil that's being pumped through the jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, look, here's our brew dog, Sylvie.
Hey, Sylvie.
Hey, Sylvie, no, what's you doing? Are you going to go and film? She's like, I'm not going on film, Dad.
Yeah.
That's her voice too, by the way, just in case.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be a little tricky to get an angle out here, I think. But basically, like, these are our two original bright tanks.
Yeah, okay, yep.
And then that dairy vat there was our original mash lauter tun. So
rather
than the big one that's upgraded. So initially, that was a limiting factor in the brewery.
Yeah.
Because
you couldn't do anything more than that kit.
We did a brew of waste oil once where the liquor to grist ratio was, I think, about 1.9. And I could sit a stainless steel mash paddle on top of the mash.
It was that thick.
It wouldn't sink. So that was what I meant by that was a limiting factor. Now, once we upgraded to that mash lauter tun in there, it completely changed the brew house. So the kettle was a limiting factor now. It was just a smaller part of it. So, it was interesting. But I just thought I'd throw that in. And these are our two original brights. Ultimately, we don't use them as brights now. We've converted them into uni tanks, which comes with some of its own challenges. But basically, there's a massively long racking arm inside here. It's probably, coming around about a metre and a half long. And it's arced to get through this thing and actually be able to turn to pick up in different spots. They're challenging to as uni tanks. Obviously, they're not designed for that.
Yep.
But we still make them work. At the moment, there's a sneaky wild beer, table beer from Lukey's lab in there.
Yeah,
I'm really excited. We might even get a little sneaky try of that in while you're here.
Yeah.
And then please watch your step as you come through here, because the number two, watch your step, number one.
We don't want to hurt our feet.
Yeah. Don't bang into these as you walk past, because they leave really nice bruises. Particularly this one, which gets you right in the hip.
That's a man speaking from experience.
Yeah. So basically, this is how we heat our brewery. And it's pretty unique. I'm not sure if anyone else in Australia has it. There probably is. Yeah. I'm not up to date with all the different breweries and their setups. Maybe you can help me with that.
Mate, I haven't seen anything like this in another brewery.
So the first thing you can see is that this came on a skid. So it came in a 20-foot open-top container from China.
Yep.
And basically we were able to use a Franna crane to drop this on place here.
Yep.
Then it was a matter of welding all the pipework together, all the stainless steel pipe, and lagging it up, which has the thermal fluid in it, which came in these luxury Caltex containers there. But but basically, like, it's a really refined oil that we pump through the jackets. And it also gets pumped through this thing that looks like Thomas the Tank Engine, which is its nickname, but it's basically a thermal fluid heater. So inside this part here, which looks like the part of a train, is actually insulated triple coil.
Yeah, right? Okay.
And these pumps here, which we cycle, will pump that oil around through there.
Yep.
And then this part is the heating aspect. And in all of its glory and tiny littleness, it's actually a waste oil burner.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's switchable from 180 to 360 kilowatts from memory.
Yep.
And basically all that happens is we pump the waste oil in from an IBC. That's a little pump that pumps it up. It goes through a little filter from a car into this little receptacle here, which has an element in it, preheats it to 90 degrees. And then it's atomized out this way. And at the end of the atomizer, there's an arc point which lights it. And then there's a fan in here, which is controlled by that, which basically blows it in the direction that it's being fired as well. And by using the combination of that atomizing from the compressor and the fan speed, you can actually tune this. So all you see coming out of that is like the convection currents.
Yeah.
So there's no, like, it's Euro level 3, which at the time we started this was pretty good.
Yeah.
In terms of emissions. So it's a rad little way of doing things. And for us, like,
how did you find out that this was a thing you could do?
Yeah. Though? So it started, that's a really good question. And it's definitely, like, due to Luke's tenacity, he's very good at things like this. He's a problem solver at heart and he's really good at it. So, but ultimately how it began was I hit Energex up for power there.
Yep.
And they said they wanted, like, I think at the time it was about 30 grand for a transformer.
Yep.
And they couldn't guarantee that, like, if they needed it somewhere else, it they'd just come and take it. Anyway, and I'm like, whatever. We were going to give them heaps more business. But anyway, at the end of the day, we had to look into other options, which is direct fire, which would be extremely hot in there. And I also didn't like the idea of having bulk natural gas on site here, because it's not far from my bedroom. It's about 20 metres away. So long story short, this was a solution that Luke found, I think, in the UK. And it's used there a bit.
Yeah.
And look, for us, it was steam's too much compliance and it was another headache. And electricity obviously we couldn't do. So this was it. And that's how Luke found it. And like, I was all over it. It's like, this is bloody brilliant.
Yeah.
Originally, my arms used to be way more jacked, because I had to pump 20 litres by hand out of mechanics waste oil down in Crum, which is where our stout gets its name.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was 121 pumps to fill 20 litres. And I'd do about 240 at a time. So, people used to laugh at me. They'd sit across the road at Iron and Resin and go, look at this clown.
Just see it.
What's he doing, that guy? But anyway, it was all in the effort for a bit of sustainability.
Yeah.
We get to reuse a product that would otherwise go to waste. Apparently, that's something they do on ships. Is when they change oil on ships, they use it for fuel. So it's a very similar thing. We could run diesel through this. We could use spent cooking oil if we filtered it.
Yep.
But the waste sump oil pretty much suits our locale.
Yeah.
And we can buy it now. It's about, I have to check, but it used to be about 50 cents a litre.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of servicing for this, obviously, cycling pumps and greasing things.
Yep.
Probably be nice to give it a paint job, but it's outside and it rusts a bit.
It's not like you're doing brewery tours every day.
No. And then you can see the old solar hot water reservoir there. That's our glycol reservoir.
Yeah,
so
okay.
We repurposed that as well. We've got a mate, Moog, who fixed that up for us. And And then the glycol chillers are in that tower there as well, which is reasonably inaccessible from here.
Yeah.
Especially for poor old Joel. <with his camera. laughs> But yeah. So, and then in the background, you can see our lovely lemon myrtle tree, which you might be looking at past that, just beyond that chimney. And behind that is mangoes. Yeah. So that's the one where I go and pick all the lemon myrtle for our mango and lemon myrtle.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Obviously, our mangoes don't yield much. We've probably in the 10 years I've been here, we've had two crops because they don't like rain when they're in flower. But yeah, so that's pretty much the heating side of it, man.
One thing on this, man, like, how often does this ever have to be serviced, or does someone have to come and do it? Like,
no,
do
I do it. Yeah, I do it. So this thing needs waste oil burner needs to be serviced every brew cycle.
Yeah, okay.
So pretty much what happens is there's a buildup of carbon inside on the ring there, and that needs to be, I use like this bit of stainless. You know, things are pretty dodgy here.
Yeah,
basically chip it off the side with that and then hit it with this steel brush to clean that ring. About once every 6 months, I pull this big thing out here. It's heavy as heck. It's a big mild steel device and this little ring off. And then I have to get in there and just sort of, I basically more or less vacuum or shovel out whatever's in there.
Yep.
Not a huge amount, but it's...
It has to be done because if you don't do it...
That's it. And the efficiency of your burn and heat, it just prolongs your brew day.
Yep.
So it's just
No one wants that.
No. It's my least favourite job is servicing this because it's waste oil.
Yeah.
You know, you're just getting covered in that.
Yep.
Same with that. And then obviously I climb up the back and serve. I change the oil and check everything back there as well on the compressor, empty the water out of it.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, like, I mean... Ultimately, it's a pretty good way of heating and saves us a bit on electricity.
Yeah.
Otherwise, because that's one of the things that costs that we've
Well, man, involved. Yeah, 100%, this is super unique. I don't know that there's ever going to be another brewery we visit that has one of these.
Well, I would say to them, like I've mentioned this to Hendo and other people that have asked, is that if you could get a stainless steel one of these, you're miles ahead. Like, whilst it'll be more expensive... The mild steel in the thermal fluid contaminates the stainless. So
you
end up getting a little bit of like rust in the kettle and the hot liquor here.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I give some serious consideration to. We're just using dairy vats, which aren't expensive.
Yep.
And but if you were to use proper brew kit and you'd forked out some money for it, I think you'd give it some serious consideration as to whether you'd do this. But yeah, outside of that, man, it's a pretty rad solution.
And
hats off to Lukey for finding it. And
yeah, hell yeah.
And I get to get it running and doing things. It'd be too loud to turn it on now, but you know,
that's all right.
Another time, take a video and shoot, and I'll be like,
yelling at each other.
Yeah, yeah. I won't do that now. Before old Joel will be like, oh, thanks, Pete. Now the whole bloody sound engineering stuff. It's all good. So yeah, that's pretty much it out here, man. I mean, the only other exciting thing is our in-ground holding tank there, which is flashing now. It's full. And But and then these two IBCs filled there. There's another spare dairy vat in case you ever need it. There's our old Lauder plates that were custom built on top of that dairy vat. So it's just like there's all little parts of the tail hidden around here. Bits and pieces. It's not the nicest out here, but it doesn't really have to be. I mean, ultimately.
No, well, you're making the beer in there.
That's right. Yeah, if council asks, this is all water storage.
Yep.
So that's pretty much what we tell them.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it is like so. For each brew cycle, I have to clean both of the cold liquors and both of these and fill them. I service this and get them heating the kettle.
Yep.
And I drop an element in to keep that hot.
Yep.
Like overnight, because I just have to get in and spend an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Getting everything hot and heating up. That lets me walk in the morning and pretty much just wheel
start
the grain out, hook up the auger, and start getting water ready. The reason why these have to be clean is because I actually capture the cold liquor again through transfer through the heat exchanger back in here.
Yep.
And so I need them to be clean. They can't be rubbish, right?
Yep.
And then basically I will use water each time. It saves us a day in preparation.
Yeah.
Ultimately, which is pretty full on.
Once again, that extra bit of efficiency that
catch and so that's right. And it ultimately saved us a day of labour. So initially we were starting as a prep day, which is me servicing this and cleaning those and filling them all out, sorting out the grain, and Lukey cleaning a tank and a transfer line for me while it happens. And then we work through the brew cycle like that.
Yeah.
And so we have that one prep day and then brew and just Luke's cleaning a tank ahead and we go through.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a good team like that. The two of us have smashed it out.
Yep.
But now the tap room's open, like I've put my hand up to do it on my own. So it'll end up being pretty much a 4 day week to brew, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
Like just a prep day, a cleaning tank day, and then pretty much brew and then a clean up day.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
That'll go all right. But...
So Canon, like Craft Punks.
Yeah, so when you go through the whole process, obviously, and get the beer sorted, then you need to unpack it. And we'll have two pallets of cans, one this way and one like that way here. The turntable, and then like basically the main part of Craft Punks operation will be here.
Yep.
And then it'll come off the like the canning line and labeler.
Oh, yep.
The pack checker here.
Yep.
Table. And I don't mind all this stuff that's in the way at the moment. There's been a bit of farm stuff going on.
Yeah.
The dog's probably found a mouse or a snake. and pretty much what happens is then we're just like in the boxes here, running around the corner. This table, which looks like it's pretty much used for what it is, which is basically labeling, gluing up the boxes and stamping with the batch code.
Yep.
And then straight into the cold room door on your left here. Jolly, see this one? So yeah, probably should open that for you. But there's not much in there now with the tap room, obviously.
Yeah, the majority of stuff down there.
Try and get it so that we're packing pallets and taking them away straight away. Not moving them back into here and out, which we used to have to do. So we typically do, Luke and I do all our kegging on the day before canning. And that's when they bring the cans up.
Yep.
And then and that will go out with Shoebridge that day when they're bringing the cans up.
Yeah.
And then the next day with the canning, we'll pack straight onto pallets and that, and same again. We've just got pallet jacks, we just wheel stuff out. And the guys from Shoebridge have a timing lifter, like a hydraulic lifter on the back of the truck. And we just wheel it in there. Yep. Nothing much exciting in here. I mean, obviously, it's going to be loud, isn't it, Joel? Sorry. Here's our professional retention library.
Yeah.
Some low fills of sours and stuff. And just a few kegs that didn't fit on pallets that are here if we need them. A few hops stored up the back and things, but that's about it. I mean, this is the dirty part of the brewing world that you don't really want to see, but it is what it is. We've got to store beer and we want to store it cold.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. But I probably should get some goodies for you, hey? What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, if you've got some.
Oh, I've always got some.
We won't say no.
I've got some crazy fruited beers. There's some strawberry gin fizz, some lager, and our mango and lemon myrtle sour. Which we were talking about before.
Yeah, nice.
I think that's pretty good.
Hey, thanks, legend.
There's some berry tart.
We got some hiker beers out here to give you.
Oh, no. Well, this is timely because I feel like a beer. What time is it? 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's enough. Hey, guys, so here we are today. We've just been up Smokey's Farm, up at the brewery where it all happened. And now here we are down at the tap room enjoying some of the fruits of your labour, mate.
Yeah, so, happy days.
Yeah. So I've gone with the devil in the details. You've gone with...
I've gone with Ripple.
Yep.
Yeah, which is
Joel's
a funny story.
Joel's got a hazy.
He's got Misty Mountain.
Misty Mountain. And this is the...
Blackcurrant Pastel, which is our Gav's beer 2021, I think.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So thanks heaps for having us up the brewery.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for coming up, man. Yeah, man. It's a long way to go.
Yeah, I know. No, it was great. It was such a beautiful drive.
I was going
to
say, how did you like the driveway?
the driveway.
Need a beer after that?
Driveway was all right. With the way you were talking, though, I thought it was going to be way worse. I said to Joel, it's like driving into Jurassic Park, some of the arch of the trees and stuff.
Oh, no, it's beautiful,
eh? Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Especially after the rain we've had, too, so it's all fresh and green.
Yeah, it's lush at the moment. You're lucky to get up here, actually, after 100%. The rain we had last night. But anyway, another story.
So the brewery here, you don't have a brewery here, but you've got some of the kit going on. But the tap room itself, this was a long time coming, hey?
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, ideally, we would have had this going around, well, from the start, would have been nice. But it was a risk-free way or low-risk way of opening the business, like on my farm.
Yep.
Obviously, it's rent-free up there. But there's some aspects of it, as you saw, like the spring water side of things and obviously the sustainability arm, actually making it up there, which is really good. But we need the retail margin. I mean, obviously, that's the main thing. So we've operated predominantly, like, probably 90% wholesale and 10% retail up until, you know, obviously cost of living crisis has happened and flipped things on its head. Fortunately, we were able to open this.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people know, but we did have another site probably ready to go around about early to mid 2021 that fell over.
Yeah.
We lost a bit of money in that, but it was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
And honestly, the community here in Currumbin's looked after us and they heard our story and found a spot for us, and we're really happy with where we are.
Because it was, because you've had the brewery for how many years now? Like a lot more years than you've been able to have a tap room.
That's right.
Get beer out.
So we started in September, well, probably the concept and that of Luke and I were spitballing around maybe like 2015. We started the partnership and released our first beer that we brewed at Black Ops, Gypsy Brewed there with Lookout, which is a double IPA, in October 2016.
Yep.
So that's now 8 years, or a better part of it. And 2 years later, we opened up at the farm. and then operated since then, and only like September 2023 we opened here. So it's a long time, like guts of it without retail margins.
Yeah, man. So how much of a struggle was that? Like, because even like you weren't really well known, no. except out of this little area, the people who knew you whatnot, like people who knew you were fine, but you were always at every event. For that exposure.
That's right.
Let people know.
That was the only way we could really get that community interaction. So we did, that's like, Luke needs a lot more credit. So here and there I'll drop credit for him because he obviously is not here. But the thing is, it's like he's tactical.
100% the other half, hey?
Like, oh, yeah.
You could not
he's probably
do this.
The other 75%, especially at the moment with me out of action with my foot. But the thing is Luke's very clever. And what he would do is events like Gabs and stuff like that, we wanted to do anyway because we had great ideas of that great bubblegum sour and whatnot. That gave us the marketing boost, winning that People's Choice with that beer that we could never afford. We've never had a marketing budget.
Oh, man, yeah, because that puts you on the map.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, like, I had already been working selling beer wholesale anyway, probably since about 2014, I think. And basically, like, so I was in the industry and I had trust. So I had avenues to move the beer, but that gave us a national presence.
Yeah.
And and obviously some demand. And again, Luke was with the great idea that we'd run, you could only buy that beer through our website.
Yep.
So, like, you had Dan Murphy's and everyone knocking on our door because they wanted to push that beer everywhere.
Yeah.
And honestly, we couldn't make enough to service what they wanted. And we had these discussions and they really, back in those days, I don't know what it's like now, but they wanted about 1 million litres a year of production to be able to keep up the stores they wanted to push it through. There's no way.
No.
We're 40,000 litres a year limited up there anyway.
Yep.
So, and
limited to by
production.
Production or council requirements?
Yeah, that's a DA requirement. Yep. But yeah, so we had these hyper-local events that we do, like Crafted.
Yep.
You know, which we did a couple of things up in Brisbane. Back in the day, we did Tipsy with the Gypsy at Brisbane Brew House and stuff like that, which was good for exposure for us.
Yeah, yeah.
We did our first sour we'd ever done there with Brendan Chenwell. Technically not, but one to release to the public.
Yep.
It was Lukey's idea. He did a Snapple, and I think it was a guava and something. Oh, it was the Kiwi. Wizard Stick is the name of the beer, and that came from the mash paddle that Brendan had.
Yeah.
It looked like a wizard stick, and now it sounds funny when you say that at the bottle shop. You're asking for the beer, right? But anyway, that's another thing. We need to change that name. So at the end of the day, events like that have helped, and we couldn't have done. I mean, we definitely wouldn't have gotten to this point without the Gabs win. Like, literally, I've spoken to Luke about it, and he's like, we probably would have had to shut the doors and lost all that money back then. Within a week or two, maybe a month. Like, we were that, so it was
talking about
tight.
That beer, like, because I remember it, I worked that Gabs at Brisbane, and I was working, and so I didn't get to taste it.
Oh.
And it had finished on the container bar and had gone at the time because it was so popular, right?
Yeah.
And so I actually went to Sydney Gabs just so I could try it.
Wow.
Drink it.
Thanks, man.
Oh, well, plus Gabs.
Yeah. I know, it's brilliant, isn't it? But seriously, that's great.
But when did you know that was a special beer? Was it before, like, was it during the concept phase, or was it like when everyone just started talking about it and you're like, fuck, no one will shut up about it?
Yeah.
When, like, because it was lightning in a bottle.
So like, basically, like, I've got to try and make this quick, but Luke submitted the beer through Gabs.
Yep.
And I'd always wanted to make a great bubblegum beer anyway, and the idea in a sour was great. The concept then was, how are we actually going to do it?
Yeah.
And we got that done. When it came to the brew, I have a 3-schooner rule for most beers. Obviously, if they get a bit higher in ABV, that's a little different, but anything around 5%.
Of them, but
you don't want to wake up too well. So the thing is like, even out of the tank, like straight away, the colour, the flavour, everything, the presentation, it nailed the brief.
Yep.
So, like, I was so excited. So I would, like, get people who know nothing about beer to come up and try it.
Yep.
They had to keep their mouth shut, though. Family and stuff. But basically, they didn't really know. But the beauty of that is people who don't know anything about beer, if they like beer, that's just as valuable, right?
Yes.
So when that feedback was coming, it was good. But, yeah, as soon as Gavs happened, and it basically sold out both sessions very quickly, and we were like, well, I actually obviously had a fair bit to drink.
Yep.
But I was pretty emotional. Because I love Gabs, and like being there and seeing that happen with our beer was
was huge.
Yeah.
It was a blowout. So, yep. Yeah, it's good.
And since then, have you tried to replicate that flash of lightning, or you've just like gone, you guys know what you want to do and your beers, and you just keep doing that, and if one strikes, it strikes, and so be it?
I think it's sort of like that. I feel like, you know, quality's number one. Right? You've got to have really good product. So for me personally, that beer winning was suddenly like, you really have to step up now.
Yeah.
Like, that was a good thing for me personally. Not that I didn't want to anyway, but it was a real kick up the bum. It's like, now your beer's going to be nationally represented.
Yep.
So it's like, you have to be at this level. Like,
yeah.
And everyone's expecting that. And so that was cool. But we were known for our sours, which hurt me a bit on a personal level because, you know, I like hoppy beers.
Yeah, and, big IPA.
But also like lagers and pale ales too.
Yeah.
And I thought I made good ones of those. So I still do, but I'm biased. But the thing is like, we're known for the sours. So really, I want to push our other beers too.
And
this is a great way to do it. You know, you get a tap room and people come down, they will try
various things
and word gets around.
How do you develop a recipe? Do you sit it in your head first and mull it around and then design it backwards, or do you just write it down on paper, or do you see a new hop and you're like,
all of these things sort of happen. I mean, he's been doing it for a while, but sometimes it's an idea. Luke might have an idea too, like this blackcurrant pastels, like a Lukey beer. It's a brilliant beer. Like, it's just spitballing things. For me personally, I'll have a style that I want to make.
Yep.
And like, I'll probably research a couple of books looking at recipes, and then I've been through with Hendo too, so I do a typical sort of setup like he would do, where I write the recipe scaled to the brew house for bags and half bags and whatnot. And then scale that back on Beersmith for my own homebrew 50-litre brew in a bag setup. And that will get the beer about 85% of the way there.
Yeah.
And whether it be using funny ingredients and stuff, I'll make a sour base and then add fruits or teas or tinctures, whatever I want to throw into it.
Yeah.
And get something out of that. But typically, like, if it's a new style that I'm not confident with, like, I would probably do a pilot batch. But now I'm fairly confident that, like, I can make the beer the way I want it. And so far so good. But I'll probably shoot myself in the foot. Ultimately, if I don't like a beer, it goes down the drain. I think we've probably had two maybe beers over the years that have that have gone, which is a bit sad, but it is what it is. Sometimes they don't play ball.
No, you can't sell shit.
That's it, and there's no point. I mean, that's it. So product's number one, but the second is brand, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, obviously it takes a lot of work, you know, like, to build a brand and to keep in the game. And ultimately, like, there's no point releasing a bad beer.
Yeah.
No matter what the strife. There is also that thing, there's no such thing as bad press, right?
But there is.
Fully.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So when we were up at the brew house, like, you were talking about the motorcycle oil, motor oil.
Yeah, waste oil.
Waste oil stout and whatnot.
Yeah.
I love that beer.
Yeah,
too,
thanks,
by
man.
The way. Yeah, it's a great beer. Did that come about just because of that oil, or you always had a stout in your mind that you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, thanks, man. I really do. I like stout. My mum does too. So, I really wanted to make a good one. I think there was an old British stout from memory. It was like some like ye old engine oil or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought, we use waste oil in the brewery. So I just sort of jumped on that kind of thing. That was the thought process there. And we found a really cool Shutterstock image.
Yeah.
And that became the label. Luke found that, you know, and put it together.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I think I use Gladfield malt.
Yep.
For that beer, I really like Doug and Gabby, and I've been over to.
I like Gladfield Malt.
Been over to visit the operation there in Christchurch, and they're friends of mine. They've been to visit up at the farm in here too, which is really lovely. So I like to support them, and I think their malts are great. And it's showcasing some of their goodies in there.
Speaking of Luke, we've mentioned him heaps of times, but he is literally the other half. He's the legend, and he doesn't just do taproom stuff or anything. He's the brewer, he goes recipes, like, you got the table saison.
Yeah, so
you've got a couple of really cool table saisons that he's done.
So,
that
are like insanely... Luke is a mixed culture legend.
Yeah.
Right? So he froths on that, and on the other side, he absolutely nails it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we do have, years and years ago, I think it was maybe 2019 too, or 2020, we entered a mixed culture table beer, yep, into Competent One Champion Mixed Culture. I think that was in Queensland Beer Awards. Yep. And it won gold, almost did really well at the ARBAs as well. Very high score there too, which is great. That beer's coming along soon.
Yep.
It is in tank, so it's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the idea was to have that under a different brand, that, yep, strain thing. So like Lukey can really own it.
Yeah.
And it'll still be under our Fermental Proprietary Limited,
yeah, yep,
banner as a company. But yeah, it'll be, I think Luke really wanted to put it under a different brand.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I hope that does happen soon. But for me, I just want to get that beer out.
Just because it tastes like it's good.
Yeah, I want to drink it. Yeah. And we've got, so it's pretty much set up, with one of our brights up there at home is set up as a Solera. And so we can pull a bit of that off and use it in, we've got 118 litre,
yep,
like keg fermenters you can do now, or keg, yeah, fermenters, yep, whatever you want to call them, where we can put in a lot of fruit and macerate and do stuff like that. So I'll leave all that up to Lukey.
Yeah.
That's going to be his baby.
Yep.
And then we can do limited release runs that you'll only be able to buy here on our website.
Yep.
Basically, they won't go into wholesale at all.
Mm.
And yeah, that'll give us another good retail income stream and let, yeah, Luke play a bit more. Because ultimately, he's like just kind of, the way we've had, what we wanted to do from the start was a third of each, which was normal beers, like,
yep,
kettle sours or far sours, and then like mixed culture beers.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to be a third of each,
yep,
but the turnaround time on the mixed culture stuff, oh,
yeah,
obviously it can be long.
Yeah, well, you don't know.
Yeah,
right. You've got to let it just do.
And blending and all sorts of stuff, right?
Yep. So, but then when you blend it, you can't just bottle it. You've got to let it settle.
That's
to make,
right,
sure,
yep,
that it's going to eat anything else. Or...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what ended up happening is we quickly found out with the demand after winning Gabs is that we really needed our brewery to be turning over the kettle sours and any other beers that we kept up for wholesale and stuff like IPA, whatever, any other style, yeah, of beer that wasn't a mixed culture. So unfortunately, they've fallen by the wayside. So Lukey's sort of sat on the back side of his production. I can't wait for him to do it because,
yeah,
like, it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Get excited, yeah, for it.
100%.
I can't. The name he's got's brilliant too. I can't wait. I'm really excited. So keep out. It'll happen soon.
Yep.
But in the meantime, I've taken production on. So sort of production, social media, and
like, what's going on?
Maintenance of the brewery. I know, doggy. And then Lukey's looked after in a more kind of more hardcore admin role, really.
Yep.
Logistics and the website,
yep,
and anything finance, well, right?
When you run your own business, you've got to do all the things,
yep,
plug the holes, because if you don't,
yep,
you've got to pay someone to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that comes out of your bottom line.
Yeah.
If you can't afford that, then, you know, you've got to do what you can as you're doing it all, right?
Yeah.
So, especially in these economic times, it's not easy. It's not just selling beer. And
that's what I was going to say. Like, so Luke's done a brilliant job, because I can tell you when I was out there pounding pavement, we were always higher priced than everyone else, and
yep,
we still are. And the reason for that is that we can only make 40,000 litres of beer a year.
Yep.
As I told you, everything's like manual up there. Nothing's automated, down to heating tanks, you know, so, or heating water. So it means that our labour per litre is very expensive,
yep,
compared to a brewery where you can just get instant hot water or,
yep,
whatever, it's all ready for you. So combined with the small production volume, which means our buying power is low,
yep,
compared to breweries like our friends around the corner here that can, you know, produce millions of litres a year,
yeah, yeah,
our price point has to be higher. And he's always held firm on that,
yep,
which meant our quality had to be good and we had to be making really interesting beers, which I think we've pulled up doing. So Luke's been very clever in,
yeah,
in well, holding the ground on that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And instead of racing to the bottom, we've tried to make ourselves a quality product that is, you know, it is two guys, literally,
yeah,
on a farm using the spring water to make great beers with really good local produce,
yep,
in a sustainable fashion.
Have you
And that price reflects that, but like that's Luke's strength, sorry, Adzi.
Yeah, no, you're
is,
right.
Is really to make sure, and like, if it was me in that position, we would have gone bust.
Yep.
No time flat, because,
yeah,
I give beers away.
Yeah, yep.
You know, I'm just loose as, and that's why you need
that business acumen.
The yin to my yang.
Yep.
Yeah, big time. And Luke is
100%.
Yeah. Well, you need it, eh?
Yeah, fucking know.
Especially for units like
us. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I know exactly.
Yeah, sorry. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, since you've opened the tap room, because obviously before you had, you know, 40,000 litres that were constantly going out to wholesale. That's what, that was your goal. Now you got your own tap room. You need you need to supply that.
Yes, that's
right. Like, has that change been dramatic? Like, have
I would
you had
say
to pull
it's auspicious
back on some wholesale,
the way that it's worked, like, with the, you know, like the cost of living crisis and stuff like that. Like, we needed to focus on here.
Yep.
With that happening, people's disposable income to spend on a luxury consumer good has reduced.
Yep.
And the higher price ones obviously are the first to go. So that's us. So our wholesale was drying up. Literally, 2023 was tough for us because we're building this and mounting debt without, the wholesale supply that we would rely on to pay ourselves and cover some of the debt and stuff. So it was really tricky, I'm not going to lie. And if you look around here, you can see it has been, like Luke and I did a lot of the work and we've had friends help us out massively.
Yeah, yeah.
Won't even start on that list, but they know who they are and thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I digress. But what was I talking about again? I just had a moment.
Smoking. Wholesale to retail.
So it kind of worked in opposite fashions. Like it was winding down, which wasn't good. But at the same time, once this was open, it's allowed us to pump everything through here. And ultimately, that's what we want, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the future plan?
Get my foot better. ultimately, we've got this beautiful brew house here that came out of Sapporo in Japan, and the guys had it at White Oak Distillery up at Bigger Waters, and it came on the market. So it's sitting here. Technically, it's running.
Yep.
Right. So, but there's a bit involved in getting the rest of the brewery down here. So we need steam, we need tanks, we need glycol chillers and everything hooked up.
Yep.
But it's like having a cool old 1980s BMW or something sitting around that you can't drive yet. So I'm fanging to use it.
Yep.
And I don't know, you can't see it from here, but there's a little adjunct cooker in the middle of it there as well, which can be used for some cool stuff. Like we can do some rice lagers and just mucking around with adjuncts in general.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty fun. I'm pretty excited about it. And I shouldn't look over there, but so hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. I don't know when though.
Yeah, yeah. So you got your kitchen out the back.
Yep.
Do you reckon, like, because a lot of breweries have that food truck or they have the kitchen, you went straight in with the kitchen.
That's right.
Was that an important decision for you, like, from the outset? Were you like, we need that extra revenue that we can generate ourselves, or was it a...
Well, there was two sides to that. One is, of course, like, food trucks can be unreliable at times. Like, obviously, if they get a wedding booked in or something and you've had your plan for ages, they're going to take that extra money.
Yep.
You can't blame them for that. So there was that side of things. And then also... we wanted to have our own chef and our own offerings. We've been extraordinarily lucky with Boogs. Our chef is unreal and he's passionate about beer. So, and he likes making stuff for beer. He's been in the game forever.
Yep.
So there is two sides to that coin, really. Yeah. And a lot of that comes back to Luke, his business acumen again too.
Yep.
So he's really made those decisions and said, yeah, that's the go.
Yeah, nice. Mm. And what's, like, is there another tap room?
No. The long term, sorry, I got off track as I
was. No, you're right.
The long term plan, no.
I forgot what I asked.
Yeah, no. Look, we just want to keep making good beer. We want to have brand awareness, which helps you guys doing this. Thank you.
Yeah.
And ultimately, at this stage, I think given the current state of the industry, having a tap room for retail margin and a little bit of local wholesale is pretty safe for us. So we'll just stick with that for the time being.
Yeah, nice.
And I would save questions like that for Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he would be able to give you a more accurate idea of what's possible in the future. I know he's hinted at another venue. All along, it's always been like a BrewDog model, more retail avenue.
So you can put your beer venues into more people's hands.
Yeah, that's right. And have more connection.
At your price point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we try to match wholesale. It's not a nice thing to do to... undercut
but you know that
supporters.
A keg over your bar brings you in way more money than just a keg.
Haven't we learned that recently? Unreal. Fully. So that's it. But there's all the other challenges too. I mean, we're enjoying having staff. We've never had that, and that's for me, that's
and
been
that
a bucket list.
That brings with it its own challenges too.
It does.
Too,
yeah, we've been very lucky with staff, though. Yep. Honestly, we're really lucky. There's never been like a point where it's like we're saying goodbye to someone. We miss everyone.
Yeah.
It's bailed for various reasons. But life goes on, and hopefully we'll continue to have good staff to look after and be part of the team or family for that matter.
So. What days are you open here? So anybody who wants to come visit you, what days are you open?
Yeah, we're open Wednesday to Sunday, and typically we open at midday, and 8's normally the closing time, but if it's busy enough to warrant keeping it open, we will.
Yeah.
And then Sunday we normally close about 6.
Yep.
Yeah, just to let us wrap
birthday?
Up. So it's actually the day before my birthday. So it's the 15th of September.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so yeah. That will be the first birthday. And yeah, it was crazy that week when we opened.
Yeah.
Because we did a soft open for family and friends, industry soft open, proper open.
Yep.
And then my birthday. When it got to my birthday, people got down here and yeah, I was cooked. Yeah. I was like, I can't do any more, man. Yeah. I found my limit. I'm hurting in parts I didn't know I could hurt in from drinking. Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, well, man, times. I finished my beer.
You have to choose this one.
No, that's the good thing. See,
that's how I make it. That's a timing.
See, that's how I know.
I'm miles behind. What we're doing. Too much talking.
Yeah, but that's the good thing. That's been I'm asking good questions.
Yeah, you're a good man, Azzy. Thanks kindly, dude. I really appreciate it.
No worries at all, man. Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, man, my pleasure. Yeah, thank you, Silver. Yeah, smash some lolly juice, mate. It's good stuff, that. Right. Cheers, man. Cheers, mate. You get the drink.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks.